This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
No interest in war. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, May 17. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump has told members of his national security team he does not want simmering tensions with Iran to lead to an armed conflict.
The White House has unveiled a proposal that gives preference to immigrants who are educated and in demand as specialized workers.
Michael Flynn reportedly told Special Counsel Robert Mueller that people connected to the Trump administration and Congress tried to obstruct the Russia probe.
And the next level of privacy, airlines customizing your flight based on your previous flying tendencies.
If you watch action movies, you may get advertising for this, that, or the other thing. If you eat a lot of pasta, you may end up getting pasta ads and stuff like that. So there is an aspect to it of many travelers may be uncomfortable with airlines sort of building a dossier on their habits.
Wall Street Journal travel writer Scott McCartney on airline flights acting as the next frontier in the privacy debate, with info about your eating and sleeping habits and your movie preferences. He's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump says he's not interested in a war with Iran. He has told top advisors that he wants to keep tensions with Tehran from boiling over into an armed conflict. But Reuters is reporting that he's made clear to his national security team that he will protect U.S. interests in the region. U.S. intelligence showed heightened activity by Iran or its proxies that American officials took as a threat against American targets in the region. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
Clearly the threat level must be pretty high, and I think it's important that Congress be read in.
Illinois Democratic Senator Dick Durbin.
To initiate military action against Iran, that would be a serious mistake. And under our Constitution, this president has to seek the authority to do that from Congress.
Tensions have escalated lately. Earlier this week, the U.S. pulled some diplomatic staff from its embassy in Baghdad following attacks on oil tankers in the region. Mr. Trump won election in part by promising to stay out of conflicts abroad after what he viewed as costly wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. President Trump has proposed immigration changes that refocus the existing visa system towards skilled workers and away from family-based immigration. He calls it the Build America Visa, with preferences for those with extraordinary talent, workers in sought-after specialized vocations, and exceptional students.
We cherish the open door that we want to create for our country, but a big proportion of those immigrants must come in through merit and skill.
His proposal will get no support from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
I want to just say something about the word that they use, merit. It is really a condescending word. Are they saying family is without merit? Are they saying most of the people who have ever come to the United States in the history of our country are without merit because they don't have an engineering degree?
Meanwhile, USA Today says the Trump administration is preparing to release hundreds of asylum-seeking migrants caught along the southern border into Florida's Broward and Palm Beach counties, with no apparent plan to house, feed, or care for them. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Escalating tariffs between the U.S. and China have fueled an acrimonious debate over who's paying. President Trump says China. His critics say Americans. The answer isn't straightforward because, as with any tax, the person paying the tariff doesn't necessarily bear its burden. It's a story by Greg Ipp, chief economics commentator at the Wall Street Journal. Greg, set this up.
A tariff is a tax, and we know that the person who pays the tax is not necessarily the person who bears the burden. So let's say a tax is applied to a Chinese import. Suppose a Chinese exporter says to the customer, well, I don't want to lose your sales, so I'm going to cut my prices so that the price you pay will be the same. In effect, even though the American sends the check for the tariff to the U.S. government, it's the Chinese exporter who has effectively paid the tariff. On the other hand, if the Chinese exporter says, I'm holding my line, but you, I'm keeping my price the same, the American customer will pay the tariff. Either the importer will absorb it into his profit margin, or he will pass it along to the end customer. Now, there's other things that could happen. Instead, the American importer might say, I'm not going to buy from China. I'm going to say, buy it from Vietnam instead, in which case nobody pays a tariff and the American government doesn't get a penny. Or they just might not buy anything any longer, in which case neither the buyer nor the seller walks away with a satisfactory transaction.
All right, so you focused on this this group that makes these inflatable boats out on Long Island, New York. Explain what you're pieced together there.
Right. This is a small, typical small American business called Sea Eagles. So they're based on Long Island. There's only 30 employees there. And for many decades, they have imported inflatable boats made according to their design. And right now, they have three suppliers who, until recently, made them all in China. And so they were about to be exposed to the full 10% tariff that President Trump imposed last fall. So they looked around. They decided, well, what can we do about that? They persuaded one supplier to move production to Vietnam. So those boats now come in. They are not. They did not go up in price because they don't have a tariff. One of the other suppliers agreed to cut her prices by 5%, but the other one did not. And as a result, this company had to pass along most of the price increase to their customers, about 7 or 8% on average for the Chinese-made boats. So when they say when they're asked who pays the tariff, they have a very straightforward answer: we do.
We're speaking with Greg Ipp, chief economics commentator at the Wall Street Journal. He's written a piece entitled "Who Pays the Trump Tariffs? We Do." These Americans say. So it can be complicated, I guess, from the U.S. right through international waters and right into China itself, I guess.
Well, that's true. And now, also, tariffs, economists don't like tariffs because they're taxes and they change people's decisions. They leave everybody worse off. So why do presidents impose tariffs anyway? Well, one of the reasons is for protection. So President Trump imposed tariffs on steel and washing machines because he wanted to protect the jobs of Americans who make steel and washing machines. And while there's some evidence that he managed to create a few jobs that way, they came at a very high price in terms of the additional cost that was shouldered by American consumers. In many cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars per job saved. The situation with China is a little bit different. This isn't mostly about protecting American jobs. It's about trying to deliver a shock to the Chinese economy and the Chinese leadership that says, the United States is very unhappy with the way you've treated American companies for many years. You take their technology, you keep them out of your own market, you subject them to discriminatory rules and regulations. That has to change. And so in some sense, these tariffs are a bit different from the other tariffs, and we knew that there was going to be some pain.
I thought it was interesting, too. You said that Sea Eagle emailed thousands of its customers explaining what was going on, and they pushed back, right?
Only a handful pushed back.
Okay.
Some of them said, you shouldn't be blaming President Trump for this. And the company's response is, well, we're not blaming the president, but we do think that there are ways of dealing with China that don't hurt us and our employees. Some of them said, why don't you make your boats in the United States? And they actually looked into that. But, you know, these boats have never been made in the United States. The entire supply chain is in other countries. If they were to assemble them here, they would have to import the fabrics, the machinery, the accessories, and the components. A lot of that stuff would be exposed to high tariffs. It would be extremely costly. Their sales might melt away. And frankly, for a company that's right now being battered by tariffs, it's not exactly easy to get a lot of capital. So it's just not practical for a lot of American importers to move their supply chain to the United States.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Ipp, chief economics commentator at the Wall Street Journal. Also, by the way, the chief financial officer at Walmart told Wall Street analysts during an earnings call yesterday that increased tariffs, he said, will increase prices for customers. 15 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
This human resources professional is crushing it, thanks to Kronos. And this is his hype song.
You can fall back with the pack. I'm a leader pack.
I've got HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. Now we are
engaging all the best people.
Blast off to the front of the field. This is
Kronos. HR solutions for the modern workforce. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 45% off select computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, get additional savings when you call the Dell Small Business Technology Advisor. Call 877-BUY-DELL today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Additional savings valid May 6th through 30th at 8 a.m. Eastern on select computers from customer calls Dell. Excludes Dell Canvas, PowerEdge T30, and select order codes.
Former White House National Security Advisor Michael Flynn told Special Counsel Robert Mueller's office that people connected to the Trump administration and Congress contacted him as he was cooperating with the Russia investigation, and he provided a voicemail recording of one such communication. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Prosecutors said Mr. Mueller did not ultimately charge President Trump or anyone else in his circle concerning those communications, even though the special counsel's office examined nearly a dozen episodes for potential obstruction. Meanwhile, the judge in the case ordered portions of Mr. Mueller's report that relate to Mr. Flynn be unredacted and made public by the end of the month. That could set up a conflict with the attorney general, whose team blacked out grand jury info and other sensitive material to comply with federal law. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Mr. Flynn, a retired Army lieutenant general, is a vital witness in the probe and is awaiting sentencing after pleading guilty to lying to the FBI about his contacts during the presidential transition period in 2016 with the Russian ambassador to the U.S. at the time. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump has proposed a sweeping merit-based immigration system to replace the current family-based system with one that prioritizes the entrance of highly skilled migrants like doctors and researchers. Trump says his proposal would create a fair, modern, and lawful system of immigration.
Newcomers compete for jobs against the most vulnerable Americans and put pressure on our social safety net and generous welfare programs.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says this proposal isn't going anywhere.
We've only heard titles like merit, which is non-merit. It means merit in the eyes of Donald Trump.
Trump's plan, which avoids hot-button issues like the growing backlog of asylum seekers and the status of dreamers, is almost certainly dead on arrival in Congress. A federal judge in California will consider a challenge to President Trump's plan to tap billions of dollars from the Defense and Treasury Departments to build his border wall with Mexico. 20 states brought one lawsuit. The Sierra Club and Southern Border Communities Coalition, represented by the ACLU, brought the other. Missouri's Republican-led House is expected to pass a bill to ban abortions at 8 weeks of pregnancy, and the GOP governor is likely to sign it. The House is set to debate the sweeping abortion bill today. The proposed 8-week ban allows exceptions only in medical emergencies, not cases of rape or incest. British Prime Minister Theresa May is expected to set out a timetable for her departure in early June after the latest attempt to get her Brexit deal approved by Parliament. 3 years after Britain voted to leave the European Union, there is little clarity over when, how, and even whether Brexit will happen. May has promised to step down after her Brexit deal is approved by lawmakers, but many in her party want her to set out clearly when she will quit if the agreement is rejected for a fourth time, and others are demanding her immediate departure. I.M. Pei is being remembered as an architect who cast a long shadow over the field with his imaginative international projects. Pei, who died at age 102, designed the trapezoid-shaped addition to the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., the Glass Pyramid at the Louvre in Paris, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland.
Definitely recognizable structures.
Yep.
Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The airplane cabin is about to get smart, raising passenger expectations and privacy concerns. Technology that manufacturers are fine-tuning will bring convenience to passengers and info about flyers' habits to airlines. It'll start rolling out in about 2 years. How much will they know? Here's Wall Street Journal travel columnist Scott McCartney. Scott, what's up here?
There are two aspects to this. One is they're bringing in a lot of technology into the cabin. And some of it will sort of be helpful, anonymous stuff, lights that show you whether an overhead bin is full or not when it's closed, indicators of whether you've buckled your seatbelt or not, so flight attendants don't have to kind of stare into your lap, and they'll know who doesn't have their seatbelt buckled and seat upright. But There's also the aspect of sensors in seats, particularly in business class, where they may be tracking how much you actually sleep, what you eat, what you watch on the in-flight entertainment system.
Here's the virtual flight attendant, too, coming on your speaker in your seat. Hello, Mr. Deal, in seat 22A. Would you like a fourth Jack and Coke, like for everybody to hear, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. That flight attendant also may be sort of the annoying reminder to buckle your seatbelt. You know, the preference is, now Mr. Deal may be really pleased if the flight attendant brings the pre-departure cocktail to you and knows exactly what you want. But if the airline is tracking, gee, this guy drinks a lot, and then that information gets sold to others, or you could even see people worrying that I'm flying on a business trip, but I don't want my employer to know what I'm drinking on the airplane.
So is this really about passenger convenience or producing sellable data that earns revenue for the airline?
You know, I think it's both. And I think we see this in so many other industries. This whole notion of personalized service can be very good and can also be misused. And I think that's going to be the issue here. It's also not just a, you know, are they going to bombard me for ads for Jack Daniels because that's what I order on the airplane. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, if they have personal information about me, how secure is it? You know, what happens when the airline gets hacked and everybody's drink preferences ends up in maybe the wrong hand?
Right. Thanks, Scott's Wall Street Journal travel columnist, Scott McCartney, who's based in Dallas. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. I love the incredible feeling of five-star hotel sheets, but it's so difficult and expensive to get sheets like that at home. That's why I've been recommending Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is the fastest-growing bedding brand in the world with over 35,000 five-star reviews. They were the first DTC bedding company, meaning they work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers. No middlemen. That saves us money. With Brooklinen, I can expect luxury sheets without the luxury markup. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. I couldn't recommend them more if you're looking to treat yourself or a loved one to a bedding upgrade. For a limited time right now, Brooklinen.com has an offer while celebrating its fifth birthday. Get 20% off site-wide when you shop at Brooklinen.com, but only until May 7th. Shop their biggest event to date. Brooklinen is so confident in their products that all sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 20% off site-wide is to go to Brooklinen.com. Only until Tuesday, May 7th. That's Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen.com. These are the best sheets ever.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Hey, thanks for being with us, and welcome into Friday, May 17. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump says he doesn't want a war with Iran. The White House proposes new immigration rules that put a preference on those who are educated and in demand by employers. Severe storms begin today across the central U.S. Bruins advance to the Stanley Cup Finals. Wall Street Journal released CEO pay, median salary $12.4 million, with David Zaslav at Discovery earning $129 mil last year. That's a 200% raise. And the small businesses that thrived thanks to Game of Thrones. That story in about 20 minutes. The most recent defense secretary, retired Marine general and war hero James Mattis, was confirmed by an overwhelming 99-1 vote in the Senate. But Patrick Shanahan, who was Mr. Mattis's number two at the Pentagon, will face a much tougher road to become President Trump's newest defense secretary. Pentagon correspondent Ben Wolfgang at the Washington Times says, among other things, skeptical lawmakers will zero in on his lack of military experience. Ben, explain.
Compared to what James Mattis went through a little over 2 years ago, you know, early in 2017 at the outset of the Trump administration, you know, Mr. Mattis had a pretty easy road to confirmation. He was confirmed by a vote of 99-1. He had widespread respect among, you know, both sides of the aisle, people who were familiar with him from his days of military service. And so the hearings, you know, there were some tough questions, as there always are, but things were pretty smooth sailing for James Mattis. That's not going to be the case here for Patrick Shanahan for a number of reasons. Democrats are still, and some Republicans too, but mostly Democrats are really hung up on his long career with Boeing. He spent more than 30 years with Boeing. And even though he was cleared by the Pentagon Inspector General in a conflicts of interest investigation, there are some lawmakers on the Hill who are not satisfied with that, and then still think that he's kind of acting as basically a Boeing shill inside the Defense Department. So he's going to get absolutely hammered for that. But even more so than that, Gordon, I think he's going to get a lot of flack for President Trump's foreign policy, even though, you know, the Pentagon doesn't make policy. They carry out the policy and run the military. But with the tensions right now that you're seeing with Iran, with the failed U.S. intervention attempt in Venezuela, with, you know, things seem to be going downhill with North Korea and the missile tests, and that's not even to mention things like the transgender policy that has a lot of progressives up in arms, and the troops in the border that continues to sort of be a flashpoint for the broader immigration debate around President Trump. So all of those things are at the intersection of sort of President Trump's policies and the military. And Patrick Shanahan, this is going to be the opportunity for lawmakers to hammer him on all of that.
All right, so certainly Mr. Shanahan is aware of all this. How does he prepare? How does he respond or push back?
Well, see, that's what is fascinating to me and fascinating to a lot of people observing this whole process, is the fact that he's never been through anything like this before. Not to keep bringing up James Mattis, but I think the comparisons are notable here. James Mattis had been before Congress many, many times through his decades of military service, testifying about, you know, his work in Iraq and his other exploits as a four-star general, Marine Corps general. Patrick Shanahan had never done any of that prior to the hearing that he went through in 2017 to become deputy defense secretary, and that wasn't nearly as heated as this is going to be. So I'm sure that, you know, talking to people at the Pentagon, he's going through a pretty in-depth process to prepare for some of these questions and how he's going to handle, you know, getting hit with all of these policy points that Democrats are going to use as they hammer the president. So I know he's going through a pretty intensive process right now to prepare for it, but he's never been through anything quite like this before, so it remains to be seen if he's up for the challenge.
We're speaking with Ben Wolfgang, Pentagon correspondent at the Washington Times, about his piece entitled "Patrick Shanahan Faces Bumpy Road to Confirmation as Defense Secretary." He's not the first non-military guy to be in that role, right?
Oh, absolutely not. And when you talk to people, you know, political observers and retired military folks, they're quick to point out to you that, hey, Jim Mattis was more of the exception than the rule when it comes to running the Defense Department. You don't have to go back, you know, very far to see folks like Robert Gates or even, you know, Chuck Hagel during the Obama administration ran the Pentagon for a little over a year, I think it was. And he, of course, came from the political realm, having been a senator. So it's not unusual to have folks from academia, occasionally from politics, certainly from the defense industry or the business world, to be in charge of the Pentagon. I think what's different here is that Patrick Shanahan is coming in following in the footsteps of James Mattis, who did have all of that military experience and the respect that came along with it, and probably more importantly, that things are just so controversial with everything the Trump administration is doing, and things are so tense right now in South America, in Asia, in the Middle East. So that, you would think, if you wanted to make the argument that if there's ever a time when we should have a military man or woman running the Pentagon, maybe this is it. But instead, we have Patrick Shanahan. So, but you're right. It's not fair to say that he's some sort of outlier in terms of experience. In fact, you could say that he's probably more common. This type of person is more common than Jim Mattis was.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Wolfgang, Pentagon correspondent at the Washington Times. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us, and welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it was a criminal move straight out of a movie which had a very un-Hollywood-like ending. An Arkansas woman who posed as a California sheriff's deputy to break her boyfriend out of jail has been sentenced. Last July, Lisa Feldstein posed as Deputy L. Kershaw with the Ventura County Sheriff's Office at the Washington County Jail and presented forged documents to fool those at the jail into freeing her boyfriend. She was reportedly convinced by her jail boyfriend to attempt the ruse. The man told his girlfriend she should tell the jail staff that the sheriff's office was having issues with overcrowding and all low-priority extraditions have been suspended. 2 days later, a real Ventura County sheriff's deputy called the jail to let them know he was on his way to pick up the man, which is when jail officials realized what happened. The couple was later arrested.
Wow. That's impressive.
Which part is impressive?
The fact that they fooled these official jail officers.
I guess so. I mean, you would think in a situation like this, there's so much paperwork and bureaucracy involved that this kind of thing can't happen, that somebody just can't show a piece of paper and get somebody sprung from jail.
Man, I mean, she was in a costume, basically.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like I said, it's like something out of a movie.
With fake papers.
You know, which even in a movie script would seem a little far-fetched and seem kind of done for almost comedic effect in a movie, right? And they did it for real. And it actually worked, I guess, temporarily until they were found out a couple days later.
How about the name she used in Southern California?
Yes.
Kershaw, right?
There you go.
That didn't register a bell, famous pitcher for the Dodgers.
Nope, yeah, probably could have done a little better with that as well.
Wow.
And at least this guy wasn't littering, Gordon. That's the glass half full interpretation of a story out of the UK where a man has been fined and had his license suspended by police for driving with a, quote, dangerous amount of fast food wrappers in his car. The car was so full of garbage, in fact, that there was even stuff lodged under the floor pedals, potentially obstructing the driver's ability to step on the brakes.
Man.
Police tweeted a photo of the scene showing a pile of McDonald's wrappers and cups, styrofoam containers, receipts, documents, and other indiscernible pieces of garbage spilling out of the cab. No photos were posted of the back seats, but you can safely assume that they were equally as littered, even just from the spillover. One Twitter user spotted something else, an apparent tree branch, among the mess, prompting speculation about how and why that piece of natural debris ended up in such a man-made pile of trash.
Well, with food wrappers under the brake,
yeah,
maybe he wasn't able to stop as he drove through a forest accidentally. Just picked up a branch in the back seat.
Right. Yeah, I guess you don't really care what kind of garbage it is. Just going to leave all the garbage on the floor.
What is going on with that? Do you have, by the way, is your car like that?
I have a bag. I have like a little, like a, you know, it's like a plastic shopping bag that I just, anything I have garbage-wise, I just throw it in there.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like to keep my car dirty like
no,
that.
No, I'm not the cleanest person, but I do not have that.
Yes.
That's, even when the kids were younger. And we might eat on the road, you know, on a road trip.
Well, I can't vouch for the back seat. Now, the back, every once in a while, I take a tour through the back seat and I find all kinds of fun things back there. But at least the front seat, at least my area, is relatively clean.
Aging French fries, I think, are the most popular find in some of these situations.
But also the easiest to find because they're the most fragrant, you know what I mean?
Right. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Round here, everyone knows you need the right tool for the job. It's the difference between orders filled and orders missed, between return customers and product returns. That's why I order from Grainger. With over 250 local branches, will call product pickup, and a time-saving mobile app, it's easy to get it right. When it comes to getting what you need, when you need it, Grainger's got your back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. Free next and same day shipping could make a shopper out of you. Walmart has announced free next day delivery on 220,000 commonly purchased items, hot on the heels of Amazon offering free one day delivery to its Prime members who pay $119 per year. MarketWatch says you should think twice before clicking buy, as the free shipping option and instant gratification will make you even more likely to spend. Walmart customers must hit a $35 minimum on eligible items in order to receive the free next day shipping. What if your bill, though, only comes to $30? consumer psychologists say it will encourage you to reach the free shipping minimum. It may sound counterintuitive, but spending that extra $5 can make you feel like you're getting a discount. Free shipping is a big incentive for click-happy customers. Nearly 8 in 10 people cite free shipping as a factor that would make them more likely to shop online. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, according to newly unredacted court papers, former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn told investigators that people linked to the Trump administration and Congress reached out to him in an effort to interfere in the Russia probe. The papers say Flynn informed the government of multiple instances where either he or his attorneys received communications from persons connected to the administration or Congress that could have affected his cooperation. The court filing from Special Counsel Robert Mueller is believed to mark the first public acknowledgement that a person connected to Capitol Hill was suspected of engaging in an attempt to impede the investigation into Russian election interference. Iran's foreign minister says he's pressing ahead with intense diplomatic efforts to salvage Tehran's nuclear deal with world powers at the center of a crisis unfolding between Iran and the U.S. Yesterday, President Trump said he didn't want a war with Iran, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
We'd like to see some behavioral change come from them. We're going to continue the maximum pressure, and that, as the president has said, if they take action, they're not going to like what he does in response.
Democratic Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois says the president needs to step back.
What in the world is going on here? The Constitution requires this decision to be made by Congress, not by this president. And I can tell you, if he thinks he's going to engage us in another Middle Eastern war, there are a lot of people who resist it. I hope some of his own party will tell him that.
The Trump administration pulled the U.S. out of the Iran nuclear deal last year and imposed escalating sanctions that have crippled Iran's economy. Other signatories to the deal, the EU, France, Britain, China, and Russia, have been trying to salvage it. It's on to the Stanley Cup Finals for the Boston Bruins, who finished a sweep of the Carolina Hurricanes with a 4-0 win last night. The Bruins, making their third trip to the final since 2011, will play the winner of the Western Conference Final between San Jose and St. Louis. New England has the rare opportunity now of possibly holding three of the four major North American sports titles. The Red Sox and Patriots already are reigning champions.
It's been a good run. Boston's had some good years with sports championships. Man. And the Stanley Cup playoffs are expected to end sometime late July, early August.
Oh, no, this is never ending.
They are long. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. With the final installment of Game of Thrones on HBO Sunday night, The Wall Street Journal says people who worked on the show are left with an oddball assortment of skills demanded by show producers. Stephen Murphy trained as a blacksmith after leaving the Royal Air Force. He was hired to appear on the show in 2012, bashing away at an anvil. Then he learned to make just about everything, including a knife for a castration scene that producers wanted to look as vicious and dirty as possible. Now, besides taking orders for bespoke weapons, Mr. Murphy plans to teach at his smithy in Northern Ireland. In the same region, taxidermist Ingrid Howers has been filling orders for coyote skins, antlers, and stuffed game birds for the show. The work provided as much as half the yearly revenue of Ms. Howers' taxidermy business the past few years. One time she made a pigeon with a detachable head for a character to decapitate. Her earnings made up but a small piece of the Iron Throne economy, as it's known, a local bounty springing from the success of Game of Thrones. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.